So we're gonna have the last talk of this session. Bimkin is gonna talk about examples are not enough. Learn to criticize. Criticism for interpretability.
Thank you. My name is Bin Kim. This is work with Rajiv and Sanmi on criticism for interpretability. This talk is about interpretability of data distribution using examples. For example, suppose you just received a giant data set, brand new data set that contains 1 billion data points. These are images of an interesting species. Before modeling anything, you want to just get a sense of what this data look like. Of course, you don't have time to look at all 1 billion images, so you might as well start sampling some images. You sampled from a large group. A lot of images look like this. Another large group shows that this animal might be bipedal. But the problem is that prototype images don't give you the full picture. There are also smaller groups like these ones that you need to look at to get the full picture and gain further insights. Then the question is, which one of these small groups should we look? We want to look at important minorities, the ones that you can't ignore. We also want them to be different from prototypes that we've already seen. Like this one, animal lying on the keyboards. These are small, but not ignorable. Or this one, they could be found in costumes. They're different from prototypes that we've seen so far. So at the end of the day, you wish you had an algorithm that could select examples, but not only from majorities, but also from important minorities, together offer better insight. So this talk is about an algorithm of that kind. The key idea is not only selecting examples from prototypes, but also important minorities, which we call criticisms, together to help humans gain better insights into complex, high-dimensional, large-scale data set. So I just told you that we're going to use examples to explain something complex. The example I gave, it makes sense, but is this generally true? Well, it is well known in cognitive science that when humans are making complex decisions, we use examples. Particularly, Klein et al. Studied expert firefighters and learned that when they make snap but often correct decisions, they use examples. So I argue in order to build something, to communicate something complex to humans, we need to mirror how they think. Use examples. There is one problem, though. Humans tend to overgeneralize. This is, in fact, one of the most commonly known cognitive distortions. And as this cartoon suggests, overgeneralization often leads to social biases or discriminations. So psychologists looked into this, trying to figure out why we do this. And it turns out that we are coded to do this in order to either to be safe, to survive, or to find a better partner. So we are doomed to do this and we can't help it. But algorithms can help. So our work is about learning prototypes, which are from majorities, but also important minorities, criticisms, by intentionally selecting data points that are underrepresented by prototypes to minimize overgeneralization. There are a number of methods to select prototypes, none of which had focused on minorities. There are outlier detection methods that do consider minorities, however, mostly focusing on detecting abnormalities rather than representing the whole distribution. Our work is about how we can best summarize data using examples that could both represent majorities and minorities to help humans gain insights into complex distribution. So technically speaking, our work first selects prototypes such that those prototypes are selected or generated from a distribution, say P, that is as closest as possible to the distribution that data points are generated. After that, we select criticisms such that those points represent where P and Q are most different. So the next natural question is, what do I mean by close or different? We need a metric. The metric we use is maximum mean discrepancy, or MMD. What is MMD? Well, MMD is a measure of the difference between these two distributions and is formally defined as the following. But really nice thing about MMD is that if this function f is in a particular kind, reproducing kernel Hilbert space, then you get this really nice analytic solution called witness function that we just heard from the previous talk. You can empirically measure MMD by using samples. So we, in fact, never have to write down what P's are or Q's are. We just use samples. It's been used to many different applications, including Bayesian model criticism or two-sample tests. So that's what we use. In high level, our MMD critic first selects the prototypes and conditioned on those prototypes we select criticisms, all using greedy methods. Why? Because we can prove the cost function that we are optimizing are submodular. What is submodular? Well, submodular functions are defined in the following way formally, but think about a small set S and think about a bigger set T. Small set S belong to the T. If you're adding a new item to the small set S, the function gain is bigger than if you were to add the same item to the bigger set T. The intuition behind what I just said is, let's say I just had a beer and someone else is offering me another beer. That's awesome. That's better than if I just had a keg and someone else is offering me another beer. I'm full. If you can prove your function is submodular, then it guarantees that greedy method will get you at least 63% of the optimal solution. At least, so you might do better. So that's what we use. Now I'm going to give you an intuitive description and the exact cost function that we're optimizing to select prototypes and criticisms. We're going to select prototypes by minimizing MMD. We want to select prototypes so that they are one of the data points, one of the actual data points. Let's call that set S. We want to select items in set S such that these items are generated from a distribution, let's call that P, and that is closest as possible to the distribution Q where data points are generated. We prove this is submodular for certain for if kernel matrix is a diagonally dominant, and in our paper we show for a couple of different kernels how you can check this condition. So for example, RBF kernel, you only need to set the gamma properly. Now we have prototypes, we're going to select criticisms. Instead of minimizing, this time we're going to maximize, finding peaks in the witness function. Again, we're going to select criticisms from one of our data points, the blue triangles, as long as they're not already selected as prototypes, the green circles. Let's call this set C. We want to select items in set C such that these items represent where P, the prototype distribution, and Q are most different. What do I mean? Well, suppose these are samples from Q. These are samples from P. Data points under green shaded region represent where prototypes can well represent. Data points that didn't fall into that shade area are less well represented by the prototypes. These points naturally appear as a peaks in the witness function, and that's what we optimize. That's not all, though. We want the criticisms to be diverse, because the whole point of this work is so that humans don't have to look at the whole thing. We only want them to look at a small set of it and get the good idea. So we add log determinant term, which is known to encourage diversity in set C, and the whole thing is still submodular. Showing something is interpretable is not an easy task, because you not only have to show something quantitatively that what you learn is good, but also qualitatively. More importantly, you need to verify your claims with real humans by performing human experiments. So that's what we do. Let's first look at some quantitative results. Remember, the prototypes that we learned are all unsupervised. They don't know the labels. We just wanted them to be good representative examples of the data points. But if they are good representative examples of data points, they should also work well if we use them as nearest neighbor-based classification. So that's what we do. Note that we're only evaluating prototypes here and not the criticisms. This is y-axis is a test error, so the lower the better, as a function of number of prototypes. We compare with our benchmark prototype selection method which selects prototypes for the purpose of classification. The region that we're interested in is here, where we have a small number of prototypes. Because again, the whole point is humans don't have to look at the whole thing, but only a subset of them. In this region, we show that our method is comparable to our benchmark. Okay, that shows that prototypes are in good quality, good shape, but does this generalize across different data sets? These are the prototypes that we learned from USPS digits data set. Again, prototypes don't know the labels, but it naturally learns different number of prototypes for a digit. So for example, digit 2 had 3 prototypes and digit 0 had 6 prototypes. These are some of the criticisms that it learned. Some include digits that is not recognizable, some unusually thin lines, or unusually thick lines. We also ran MMD critic on an ImageNet data set. We used image embeddings. This is a type of dog. The prototypes that we learned shows mostly the face of the dog explicitly present in the picture, whereas criticisms capture pictures without the dog's face explicitly present, or pictures in a different coloring. This is a black and white picture. This is another type of dog. Again, prototypes capture the face. Criticisms include this dog's in costumes. Finally, we run small-scale pilot study with human subject experiments, human subjects. Now, one way to run human subject experiment is invite them over and ask them subjective question. Have them answer, hey, how do you like these prototypes and criticisms? A better way of doing this is asking them an objective question on a task that requires good understanding of the complex data distribution, in our case. Then you measure how well they do and use that as a proxy for how interpretable your method is compared to others. So that's what we do. In order to do that, we need to define what we mean by interpretability. A method is interpretable if a user can correctly and efficiently predict the method's result. Now, this is not the only nor the best definition of interpretability. However, it's operational, and that's the one we are working with in this particular experiment. So the task we gave to human subjects is the following. We gave them a new data point, say a picture of a dog, and we gave them a couple of groups and asked them, which group does this data point belong to? These groups are explained using 4 different conditions. Sometimes we gave them all images, a couple of hundreds images. Sometimes we gave them just prototypes, like these ones. Sometimes we gave them prototypes with criticisms. And other times we gave them small set of randomly selected images that has the same number of images as the condition 3. We measure 2 things, how well they did on the left and how quickly they were able to perform the task on the right. Let's look at the speed first. These are minutes per question, so the lower the bar is, the faster they perform the task. People were fastest using prototypes. Maybe that makes sense because there were the least number of images to look at. Interestingly, people spend the same amount of time looking at 100 images and prototypes and criticisms. People spend longer time looking at randomly sampled images, even though it had the same number of images as the third condition. People performed the best using prototypes and criticisms. And when you compare it with just prototypes, you can see how much criticism influenced. People did spend more time, but they performed better. Interestingly, they spent more time looking at randomly sampled images, but performed worse. They spend the same amount of time looking at all the images and prototypes and criticisms, but perform worse. This is interesting because you can almost see the glimpse of overgeneralization. What typically happens when we give giant data to human subject is they would look at carefully first couple and then quickly scroll through the rest and probably thinking, oh, I totally got this. But in fact, they didn't. They might have jumped into conclusions too soon without realizing that they're overgeneralizing. A subject mentioned that with prototypes and criticism condition, There's less confusion from trying to discover hidden patterns in a ton of images, more clues indicating what features are important. So these evaluations show that the prototypes and criticisms that we learn are high quality. It helps humans to better understand complex data distribution for the task that we tested. You can expand this work to evaluate machine learning models by simply using model-dependent kernels, such as Fisher's kernel. We are also interested in looking at better heuristics to select number of prototypes and number of criticisms. So to conclude, we proposed a method to help humans gain better insights into high-dimensional, large-scale, complex data set. We borrowed ideas from cognitive science. We use examples. MMD Critic learns prototypes and important minorities, which we call criticisms, that are underrepresented by prototypes. We show that prototypes and criticism we learn are high quality, and it helps humans to better understand a complex distribution. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Hey, so you said you wanted to add the criticisms to add more diversity to the prototype set, but optimizing with respect to MMD already introduces diversity into the sample. So what is the difference between having a set of prototypes and then a criticism and then just adding another prototype?
Yeah, that's a great question. So think about it this way. So you can essentially learn prototypes in any using any other method, right? But whatever model you fit, it's going to be wrong, right? George Buck said. So whatever you're fitting to represent the whole distribution that is not well represented, we want to pick that up, and those are the criticisms.
And optimizing for MMD wouldn't find that? Just finding another prototype?
Optimizing MMD would, the next best prototype would be similar to criticisms, but our optimization function acts very differently. And criticisms are really digging for the points that are less underrepresented by the prototypes.
Okay, thanks.
Would you please connect about the connection of this method to active learning?
Connection to active learning, is
yeah,
that the question?
Yeah, so you may just choose to show the examples following this logic. So will it contribute?
I see. Its goal is the most difference. I guess active learning, you're trying to fetch the good labels so that you can improve your classifier or clustering. The goal here is way before that. You just got a giant data set, and you are doing exploratory data analysis. You just want to get a sense of it. But I can see how this could be used to better support active learning. Perhaps if you have a one outlier and you want to get that label, if you do, then you can better filter the rest of the data or better get the good, really good negative sample, for example. We haven't looked into this.
Hi. Hello? Yeah. So I agree, similar to his question, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, so how would you extend your work to supervise, which means you not only look at features, but also the labels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. So there are two methods. One naive method that we tried is learning prototypes and criticism per label, right? It's simple that you divide your data set because you already have labels. A better way as a part of future work that we're considering is you can use model-dependent kernel. So you have Fisher kernel where it takes into account the underlying distribution and use that to calculate your similarity. And by doing that, you can better sort of see where it fails and where it doesn't fail.
Thank you.
In your pilot study, how do you determine the correct answer?
How do I determine what?
The correct answer.
That's a good. So we have labels of each dog. Or each, we had butterfly, bear, and iguana, and we have labels from ImageNet, and we would learn prototypes and criticism for each of those labels, like what I just said to him. So we have the truth labels, and we know where that new data came from.
Hey, Ben. So you brought it up at the end as well, the number of prototypes versus the number of critics. How stable are your results when you, and tell us something about how you selected those numbers for the experiments that you presented?
That's a Good question. That's a better selecting number of prototypes and criticisms is definitely one of the line of research that we would like to do. But for this human subject experiment, I selected based on how much is the reasonable time that human can focus. Human can't focus more than an hour is already stretching it, and we enforced breaks in between two questions. And we estimated how long would it take them to look at X many images and how reasonable, how many questions we want to run. So we show 6 prototypes and 4 criticisms for this particular experiment.
Okay, thank you.
So let's thank both the speaker again.